Stephen asked me last week if I would be willing to do this, and I just said yes. And I know that our Lord, and when I say Lord, I mean the Lord. He can't be your Savior unless He's your Lord. He wants you to be ready at any time. He wants you to be ready to jump. You might look at what you're jumping over, scratch your head and go, okay, Lord, I know you're there on the other side. Because He makes that promise in the very beginning that He's got us. So what I wanted to talk and share with you guys today is about this resurrection that we just experienced, you know, last week. We have two times of the year that are so significant in our Christian walk. That's the birth of Christ and His death. And the world even looks at it that way. They may not agree with it all, but that's what they look at. Because we have a thing called B.C. and A.D., and time is measured on that. So just something to rattle around in your heads. But the way I want to get going on this is, what does the resurrection mean to us? You know, we had a week, now it's behind us. Have we got to live in resurrection? Because He resurrected us to go out there and get the job done, to give us that blessed assurance of what we've got going on. And there's evidence of that. And the evidence of that resurrection is that we've got a God that lives. He lives. And there were several prophecies in the Bible. They all came to pass about this Messiah that was coming. We have that evidence that He lives. Makes you want to go into a song, He Lives, doesn't it? Just bust out into it because it's good stuff. And out of all that that came out of that resurrection, He was also a man that experienced everything, a human being that we experience here. He came through, His ministry was a few years, 3 years. And then He went through this terrible trial and tribulation of the crucifixion. We know the 3 days, we just talked about it. But I think we should keep that front and center too, because it's important. Because just like taking communion, there's times that we forget what that really means, the significance of it. Are we clean? Do we have a clean heart? Because He's a heart specialist. That's what He does. And we have an enemy that likes to work on our minds. So strong heart, weak minds. That's why we need a Savior. But through all that business of the the 3 days and Him getting beat up, He was humiliated, He was falsely accused, He was beaten beyond recognition, and then they killed Him. You know, that's the bottom line to that. They killed Him. But all those things He went through, if we sit and think about how our lives go, we go through a lot of these things too. We're beaten up. I mean, not physically that way. Some people are. We go through humility. He's been in our steps. We have His steps to follow, which is so awesome. Because when He burst out of that grave, He gave us our hope and our future. So, you know, with all that being said, just before He died, and He's hanging on that cross, and this is the part that just blows me away all the time, is the fact that He asked the Father to forgive. And that's in Luke 23:34, if you're writing anything down. And He said, for them to be forgiven, for they know not what they are doing. I mean, now come on. You've been beat, you've been whipped, half your hide's been taken off your back, and He forgives. And He asked the Lord to forgive. I mean, that's something you can go off in a week, 2 weeks, and just think about that. That's bold. He has given us boldness too. And then He dies. And then the earth couldn't hold Him. 3 days later, He pops up. We know the story, but it sure is good to remind ourselves of it, what He did for us. And when He came out, He had resurrection and restoration of mankind. He showed us that there's a reason for all this, and He proved it. And He proved it by coming alive. There's many other gods out there, and I'll let you know they're all small g's. In the Bible, the other gods are small g's. We worship the big G, the one and only. He's an awesome God. And this stuff gets you really excited about it. But he has overcome death. And that makes us overcomers. Because we're children of God. So that's just another awesome thing as well. And we are overcome, and we are overcome by the power of his blood. And over 330 times in the Bible, in scriptures, the Bible says that he is coming back. Now that's pretty neat. I don't think any of these other gods have got anything out there, the little g's, that say they're coming back. But this one came back for us and to show us. Resurrected body, a glorified body. Wow, I mean that, woo, that just makes you want to dance. But that excites me. It gets you excited. So I guess where I want to go with all this is talk about forgiveness. If the Lord went through all this business and just before he was killed asked for forgiveness, we have to put it in our minds, who are we to hang on to unforgiveness? I mean, we're fallen. We know that from the beginning. And we know why we have a Savior that came to take care of this. But forgiveness, it's just huge. And I think there's not anybody in this room that probably doesn't or at this time here have a problem with it, because we do. It's just flesh we have on us. Until we get this new suit, we're going to be dealing with this. And we've got a Savior that gives us the way, the truth, and life. And Jesus asked for forgiveness. I think we need to work on that as well. In the Bible, forgiveness, there is 88 verses in the NIV version on just forgiveness. So it must be pretty important to have that many verses and to have our Savior talk about that just before he dies. And unforgiveness, it can be like a wound. It finds you to forgive. If you don't forgive, the wound can get bigger because it's something that sets inside of your heart, and it becomes destructive. Unforgiveness becomes destructive in our lives. It's almost like a flesh-eating disease, and it truly is what it does. It can eat you up from the inside out. And I want to remind everybody, Stephen talked a little bit about that over communion in this, and it's amazing how God puts things together. But I want you all to remember that we live in a world of good and evil. There is no maybe. There just is no maybe in this world. It's either good or it's evil. It speaks about that in Revelations, about being on the fence, basically. Neither hot nor cold. So we need to keep that in mind. And 1 Peter 3:9, it says, "Do not repay evil with evil, or insults with insults. On the contrary, repay evil with blessings, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." We have to forgive. We have to forgive. It'll take us out. It'll take us out. We have an enemy. We have an enemy that he's out to get us, because that's what he does. He does that all the time. I mean, that is what he does. And if he can get you on unforgiveness and put you above that to say, "Well, I don't have to forgive," it's a lie. Because our enemy in the Bible is known as the father of lies. He'll tell us continually. It happened in the beginning. It happened in the garden. "You can eat that fruit?" He says, "What?" It happened in the beginning. And thank God that we had Resurrection Sunday last week, because we can stand on this. We have this blessed assurance. But don't repay evil with evil. It's not a good thing to do. And that's what unforgiveness can do. If we don't forgive, because we get bigger than that, now we're challenging God. We're just challenging him on that we're bigger than him. And then that starts eating up on your soul man or soul person. We just have to forgive. I just can't get that out of my head. And I just want to get into this enemy thing. we have an adversary, and this is 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. It says, be of alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That devour is an awful, that's an awful word. That's almost like beaten beyond recognition before he was crucified. So they're strong words here, because we have this is life and death, folks. But it says, resist him, verse 9, standing firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And we have the same Savior, Lord. Make him Lord. This, you got to bear with me here a second. I've never put this on an electronic device. I usually scratch it out, and my spelling isn't the best, so I know how to read it, and this is spelled correctly because it corrects you. I think that could be a sermon in itself. Thank you, Jesus. So I got to just bear with me a second. We all get to where we're going. It's going too fast. Okay. So the forgiveness is, we have to turn that over to Christ. We have to turn that over to Christ. He turned it over to his Father. And he's our guide. And I'll go back to this flesh-eating disease that it is. The effects of unforgiveness can be so destructive. There's bitterness, mental fatigue, physical fatigue. It can cause us great disruptions throughout our life, even worry. It can turn us away from friendships. It can turn us away from family. It can turn us just because they upset us or they did something to us. We have to be bigger than that. Our Savior was bigger than that. He asked his Father. So this is it's a serious matter. And in their spirits, again, I went back, I got ahead a little bit, but good and evil are alive, and evil operates in unforgiveness. So we have to have that pure heart, and we have to have that good heart to be going for the Lord. So now that I know where I am back again. Once we turn this all over to Christ, and it's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. Because unforgiveness creates a wound. It's like a wound. And I do EMS, I'm an EMT, and boy, we see some different wounds throughout 911 calls. But a wound is so, there's different degrees of wounds. And that first little bit of unforgiveness creates kind of like a first degree burn, maybe you could call it that. And then, if you're not going to do anything with it, it turns into a second degree burn. And now it's going right down to your bone in a third degree. And if you don't give that up, you're continually holding that against that person, it doesn't want to heal. I mean, it's agitated. It's there. It's there. We've got to let those things go. And once we can find that forgiveness for that person, and I've heard this so many different times from other people, they say, well, you can forgive. You can forgive. But I can't forget. And that's a problem with people, because they'll go that far. Yeah, I can forgive, but you know what? I can't forget it. I can't forget it. That's another lie from the devil. You can take that wound, and once you give it to God, you can begin. He puts his dressing on it. He takes care of it for you. He dresses that wound. And we don't irritate it. We might go back there again. Oh, Lord, give me back. Boom, he'll take you right back, because we're standing on this resurrection that he came back for. And it comes to a point to where that wound, it'll heal. And what do you end up with? You end up with a scar. You end up with a scar. You'll never forget that scar. But there'll become a time that scar just becomes a scar. I was in an automobile accident as a kid. I got run over by a car 50 miles an hour. It took me out. I got resuscitated a couple times. And, I got scars from here to here all over. And I look at them scars every day. I remember what it was like going through having to learn how to walk again, all this business and this and that, but they're in the past. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, to keep moving forward. And I'll tell you, folks, it is a disease that it'll take us out. It'll take us out. We have a scripture here that says, let me find it. I went past it. But basically, oh no, don't you come up. Stop. I don't like electronics, but this isn't too bad. The Lord, and through this forgiveness process, we have so many promises in the Bible. We just have so many of them. It's overflowing. We've got to go retrieve them. And that's the living word in this food that just keep us alive all the time. Just get into this thing. But we can do all things through him who strengthens us. And that says that in Philippians 4:13. And I know people use that sometimes loosely, but when you're in need and he's your Lord, he'll pull you through. He'll pull you through. We have that promise. And there's also, with these scars that we end up with, Jesus has these on his hands. Okay? He wakes up, or he doesn't sleep, but I mean, he looks at this every day. He took these scars for us. And I think about it sometimes. How are we worthy of that? How that he died for us. And he has those scars every day. And some days, I imagine, I'm not speaking for God, but he looks down and goes, "Ah, man, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. I went through this. I went through this in the garden. I knew it was coming. I prayed to the Father. Oh, Lord, Father, if this cup can pass," that's a cup of wrath too. If you there's a couple different cups out there too, and that's a cup of wrath. And he asked him twice in the garden, it says in Matthew. He prayed twice for that, so he knew what was coming up. But he did it for us. And then he asked those people to forgive him. So, folks, don't get taken out by this. This is what the enemy has. This is a great tool that he can just abuse us and take us out with, make our faith just all of a sudden it's hard enough in this. It really is. He said it wasn't going to be easy, but we sure do have a good looking reward at the end. So we want to keep. We'll slip. We'll fall. We get back up. Because he's got that hand. And when he comes down and picks us up, we've got to reach for that hand to grab us. If we notice, there's scars in that hand too. And he forgives us. Because that's what he does. That's what he came for. This forgiveness business too also has a love component to it. Imagine that. Mark 12. 30 through 31, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with your mind and your strength." So he's covering all the bases there. He's covering all the bases. The heart is so important. And 31 says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command than this. Self is a big problem in this thing too. It gets us in trouble every time. Every time. There is some forgiveness that we have to do of ourselves. I've kind of never understood that, but the more I get into this and the more I learn about it, self, we always don't like to put self first, but there's a time that self needs to go to the doctor. And we need to examine ourselves. It's a difficult one to deal with, but it requires examination. It's Psalms 26:2 says, "Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind." And if you didn't notice, that was in that first scripture there. Love the Lord with all your heart and your soul, your mind, and your strength. So He put scriptures there to let us know that we've got this to stand on and that he's there for us too. And we can also see that this love component is huge. And to love your neighbor as yourself, rattle that one around for a while. That's a difficult thing to do. We're involved in prison ministry. I go into prisons 2 times a week up north. And when we first got the call to go do it, it was like, what? You know, who are these people? But now I come to find out, the only difference between them and me is they're locked up. And that's a fact. They're locked up. Some people say, hey, that's a captive audience. It is. But I can tell you what, if you take the population of the world that's in jail, in prison, there's more people out here in their own prisons walking around. So when it says love the least because you love me, I just paraphrase that real quick, just for the record. That's huge. I mean, that's a big thing. This self-examination is desperate to survival. And we have to be very cautious here that bitterness doesn't take root in us. Because bitterness goes deep. And it'll deplete you and lead you into places you never thought you would be. And it can lead to spiritual death. I mean, this is life and death, folks. I mean, you know, we have a good time. And our God created us to have a good time. He even says that he gives us his joy. But there's a real serious side here, too. And but God is God. And I'm sure if you read, I'm not sure, but if you had read the front of your bulletin this week, let me read it to you. I was putting this together last night and glanced at the bulletin. And you know what it said? Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God also in Christ forgave you. It was on the billboard this morning. God is so good. He is so good. And this is very serious because in Matthew 6:9-13, the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our trespasses for those who trespass against us. And that's just not talking about a debt of money or anything like that. That's talking about the whole enchilada. That's talking about forgiveness. That's talking about just keeping right with God. Don't get above God. Because we want to do that as people. We sometimes think that we're our way is better than his way. And we know that that doesn't work. We have too many scars to prove it. Limps and everything else. But and Matthew 6:14-15, I guess, is really the game changer on the whole thing. For if you forgive other people when the sin against you, that sin against you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But when the Bible's got a but in it, look out, because there's something coming up. It says, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father won't forgive your sins. I don't know about you, but the Word says when we stand before Him, there's going to be questions asked. And you don't want to, you want to answer that question because you confessed them and you forgave that person. Because this looks like it's not a pass to go past go. Because if you don't forgive, it says the Father in heaven can't forgive you. He died on that cross for forgiveness. So I just think we need to think about that. There's good news in that because there's freedom and there's health that comes out of that. Not dragging this stuff around, not worrying and all this other business. So there is good news in all this. And it's very important for our salvation. And how are we all doing? I mean, it's a good question to ask ourselves. How are we doing with this? Don't hold the stuff inside of yourself. Don't let the enemy hold you up in prison, because it'll imprison you. It'll truly imprison you. There's just too many other things out there that we've got to get done, and that will weight you down and take you out. Don't let the enemy hold you down in prison. Just don't let him. Get out of that prison and enjoy the fullness of Christ, because he came to give us fullness. In conclusion of all this stuff, that picture of that cross is humility. It's making yourself below everything else. I mean, just like he did. It's humility. It's love. It's salvation. It's everything that it is. He told you he's coming back. He did it, and he showed back up again. It is all that in one. And James 4:10 tells us, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So that's all, you know, it's all pretty good stuff here. Remember that Jesus calls us friends, and he also gives us his joy. He gives us his joy. Get to know Jesus better through the Gospels, and you will have God's full measure for you. And remember, also, John 15:1-17, it's pretty lengthy here, but write it down. It talks about being the vine and staying connected. It's really important. It's so that they're all important. You know, you end up reading and you go, oh, wow, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. It's just exciting to get into the Word. But he's just telling us in that we have to stay connected to him, and he's the vine. It's the truth. Everything in that book is the truth. So we have to stay connected. God is our source. We have an awesome God we serve. And remember that you can't serve two masters. So where are you spiritually? Are you holding on to any bondage and unforgiveness? And if you are, in the next hour, if you were to die, and this is strong, but it's so true, if you were to, you know, we don't know the hour that he's coming, and we don't know the hour that he's got to say, I'm bringing you home. But if that was to happen, are you ready? I mean, my dad always used to say that. He says, son, are you ready? Because you're not going to get a chance to just sit there and say, well, you know, let's make a deal. So I just want to give you guys this message that, you know, we have to be ready. And if we're not ready, there's good news here. Today's the day to get yourselves ready. It's so important. It's so important, because the joy that can come out of that, just to renew and just that new set of life. So, if you're not ready, and you think you're ready, what's the evidence? How are we living for him? How are we living for him? We're just coming again off this week, where we've seen him hanging on the cross in our minds, and we celebrated that resurrection. So, you know, however your faith is, that's between you and God. That's absolutely between you and God. But he says in the Word, you'll know them by their fruit. A little more paraphrasing there, but it's the facts. And he makes it too evident. So if you've got to check yourself, that's okay. We're walking around in these fleshly tents, and that Savior's there to pick you up. He'll pick you up. It's like that old thing, footsteps in the sand. Remember that old picture they had that was out for the ever, and the guy walking on the beach, and, you know, he'll carry you. He'll get that, make that done for you. We have that blessed assurance. And we should have evidence. And if you're ready, what kind of evidence is it showing? That your sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, look at that. If you had a badge that had your name on it, and it said, where are you? And it says, hey, I'm a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. That is good news, folks. That is good news. We've got a book here full of good news. And I don't have a book. I got this crazy thing here. So, in closing, I would just like to say, Paul said in Philippians 3, 12 through 14, and this is just an awesome thing to remember when we feel like we're slipping, or maybe it just isn't working out, and it might be about me today. I like this one, and I wanted to share it with you guys because it's in the book and it must be meaningful to somebody. So we'll use this here. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it, but on one thing I do not forget, what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. So the days that we're there and we're going, man, I just don't think I can get it. I'm struggling with this. That past, that unforgiveness, this business of just not letting things go. We can see Paul's giving us something here. Hey, I ain't got it all yet. I just don't have it all yet. But you know what? I got you and I'm striving for it. I'm just going to keep on going for that prize and just move for you. So, but I think... I know that this unforgiveness is something that we all battle with sometimes. I don't care if it's that person, you just see it, you go, ah, cut me off in traffic, oh, blah, blah, blah. We need to get this gentleness about us and get into the fruit of the Spirit. So with that, I hope that you all gleaned a little something out of this. The God is so good in what he does. And it's no accident that you're here today. It's no accident. Because God puts us in places that we can't believe sometimes. And it's that unction in the Spirit. So God bless you all. And I'd like to pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I just lift everyone up in this room to you as you were lifted up for us. And Father, you do have forgiveness. That's what you do. And I pray that these paths can be straightened out for these folks. And it's a lot quicker going straight to the destination than making the curves. And again, Father, be with them all this week. Guide and direct them. And just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being the King of the universe and our Lord and Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.